called Palm Sunday. On the 10th of the month, Jesus was on a donkey and he rode into Jerusalem. He rode into Jerusalem as if he's saying, here I am. I'm the Lamb. Choose me. It's always been about choice, hasn't it? Verse 3, we see the Lamb referred to as a Lamb. In verse 4, it's the Lamb. Verse 5, it's your Lamb. There's a progression there. First, we know about him. He's a Lamb. And then we start looking a little closer and we start realizing he's the Lamb. There's only one. And then we give our hearts to him. And he becomes our Lamb. Every man take a lamb, it says in verse 3. It's individual. It's a decision that can't be made for you. In verse 4, the Lamb, it's singular. There's only one. Verse 5, your Lamb. It's personal. Paul talks about this in Romans and also in 1 Corinthians. It's kind of a more than just a hint, but it's there. We have to make sure we study the Bible and we read every word. Romans 14:15, but if your brother be grieved with your meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with your meat for whom Christ died. Don't destroy the one, as it says in the New King James Version, the one that Christ died for. Every one of us can say that if I was the only person to ever live, Jesus Christ would have still died on the cross for me. And Paul repeats his thinking in 1 Corinthians 8:11. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Actually, it's a question he asks. The one that Christ died for. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Without blemish. It's a sacrifice to God. It has to be perfect. Even Jesus, the Son, was a sacrifice to the Father, and he had to be perfect. I've heard it suggested that maybe the universe blinked when it was decided if this was a perfect sacrifice. And it was. The sacrifices we offer to God has to be the best that we can give him. The sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of service. The sacrifice of our hearts. It has to be the best we can give him. He gave us the best he could, didn't he? If you share your animal crackers with God, don't give them the ones with the broken legs. Had to be without blemish, a male of the first year, in the prime of his life. Jesus was in the prime of his life. To the same degree, well, the first year, Jesus naturally was older than a year old. But it's interesting, in Genesis 22:5, Abraham took his son Isaac to offer him as a sacrifice. It's a type or a foretelling of what Jesus did. He said, abide ye here to his servants. He said, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He referred to his son Isaac as a lad. Now we see these pictures of Isaac and Abraham, and Isaac is this little boy, and that's not true. Isaac was actually probably about 35 years old, and Abraham was 135, and we know that Isaac didn't have to be up there, did he, on that altar? But he yielded. He submitted to it, just like Jesus did. But he referred to him as a lad, even though he was 35. So he was in the prime of his life. A male of the first year. A male. The Hebrew word for male is zakar. Hebrew words usually have more than one possible meaning. Each letter can have a possible meaning. The meaning, each possible meaning, they don't contradict each other, they complement each other. I'll give you an example. Jesus, when he was on the cross, said, Ali, Ali, lama sabachthani. Of course, the Ali is God. The EL part is God. The I at the end of it makes the first person possessive. In other words, he's saying, my God. But it could also be translated, why am I hung on a thick tree? Or, why am I the ram caught in the thicket? See, it complements, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that's the primary rendition, or that's the primary definition of it. But Zakar can also mean male. Or it means male. It can also mean remembrance. This do in remembrance of me. So we see the word remembrance associated with the lamb in his first year. Verse 6 of Exodus 12 says, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The whole congregation. Matthew 27:25, then answered all the people, all the people, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. It was fulfilled, wasn't it? The exact same day. Same calendar day, the 14th day of the same month. In John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you, and you will always be with me. Beautiful words. This was spoken right after the third cup of the Passover Seder. There's four cups. This was the third cup because Jesus said the fourth cup he's not going to drink until he drinks it with us in heaven. What is the third cup? The third cup is what Paul referred to in our opening scripture as the cup of blessing. It's also a cup of redemption. It's also a cup of betrothal. In the Jewish culture, when a man discovered or found a woman that he wanted to marry, he would go to the father's house. And he would bargain with the father for his daughter. And then he would set a glass of wine in front of her. And she had a choice. She could either drink that cup, which is basically saying, yes, I'll marry you. Or she can just leave it there, which is saying no. I'm going to get a little personal here. I better finish it. Then after she drank the cup, if she said yes, he would say, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and get you. As I said, I'm going to get personal. When I proposed to Linda, I did it this way, with a cup. And she drank it, which made me very happy. But, you know, it's a funny thing, and I was thinking about it yesterday. She knew, or she believed, that by drinking that cup, it was actually going to cost her quite a bit, or it could cost her quite a bit. She thought there was a possibility she was going to lose her health insurance. She thought there was a possibility that she was going to lose a lot of her income. But she drank it. She told me, I've pinched pennies before. I can do it again. Which obviously made me feel really good. As it turned out, because of her age, she didn't lose any of those other things. They were, but yet she was willing to give it up. Our sister Sandy said something about turning loose of the world, of the things of the world. When we drink this cup, we are saying yes to Jesus Christ. We are saying, yes, we'll marry him. And then we wait for him to come back. But when we drink this cup and we say yes to him, we are saying we'll give up the world no matter what it costs us. And it may cost us. We're talking earlier about the persecution going on in other churches and other countries. It can cost us. So we have to make sure we're prepared for that because it's going to be worth it. Yes, God will get us through. Or he'll take us home. Which is the same thing, isn't it? Even better. I'm going to ask John and Bill to come up and pass out the elements. 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 32. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I'm going to ask everybody to take this time as everything's being handed out to talk to the Lord. Bow your heads, talk to the Lord, and ask him if you're right with him. Maybe you have unconfessed sin. Maybe you have aught against a brother. Maybe you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior. So take the time to get right with God. Talk to him about it and listen to him.